evening, November 18th, 1976, I'm sitting here before the fire speaking with Gene Fyle. Gene is representing himself as a person and as a person who is postmaster of Westport. I'm Mary Giles, and we're going to talk all around the subjects that interest us. Gene, you've just been made postmaster recently, haven't you?
Well, actually, I'm not the postmaster right now.
You're not?
No, the appointment hasn't come through. I've been before the selection board in Boston. Excuse me. And they've weighed the thing out, and I think probably I will be the postmaster, mm-hmm. but as it stands right now, I haven't been.
I'm acting postmaster, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many post offices are there in Westport at the present time? I know there used to be more than there are now.
Yeah, there was a consolidation back in 1965. Mm-hmm. At that time, there was each office was an individual post office.
Mm-hmm.
There was one at the Narrows in Fall River on Route 6.
Mm-hmm.
See, there was another one at the head of Westport, which the same building that's being operated now.
Mm-hmm.
And one
is that
at,
the main post office?
No, the main post office is on Route 6.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And then there was one at South Westport mm-hmm. Corners.
Mm-hmm. Now that's gone, isn't it?
Yes, that has been eliminated. There was one at Central Village, where the building that's being used now, and one at Westport Point.
Mm-hmm.
And after the consolidation, the one at Central Village and the one at the head of Westport was made classified stations,
mm-hmm.
and a new office built on Route 6.
Mm-hmm.
And the one on Route 6 is the main office, but the two stations are stations of this office, which is Westport office.
Mm-hmm.
And the one at Westport Point remains, and that is an individual post office.
Mm-hmm.
That stays as it is.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have an awful lot of mail, really, here, don't we? Are there gradations and classifications of types of post offices? For instance, a village of 500 would have to have a post office of some sort. And then here we are, up in the thousands of people. What do you call the difference? And yet we're not like New York City.
No. Well, every post office has every operation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can buy anything in the Westport office that you could buy in New York City.
Yes.
The only thing is we don't handle as much of it.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the mail is concerned here in town, we're handling up close to probably 10 to 12,000 pieces of first-class letter form a day.
Mm-hmm.
And in the neighborhood of 400 to 500 parcels
mm-hmm.
a day. And probably 30,000 pieces of flat mail, like your magazines and mm-hmm, newspapers mm-hmm. and that sort of thing, advertising material.
Mm-hmm.
So we're having quite a volume of mail.
Yes, indeed. Now, does that give you any difference in kind of status postal-wise than it did when you weren't handling nearly this much?
Oh, yes, yes. The post office is the one at Central Village, for instance. When I went in there in 1958,
mm-hmm.
The total profit that post office made for the year of 1958 was $1,554.
Mm-hmm.
And when I, at the time of the consolidation in 1965, we went, I say $1,554 was the profit.
Profit.
I don't know offhand what the profit was in 1965, but the gross business was $90,000.
Yes.
So it's an incredible...
It had grown a great deal, growth, isn't it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So mm-hmm. then, when we consolidated, then these offices became first class offices.
Yes, that's what I wanted about class.
Right.
Yes, when you consolidated,
right.
then Central Village became a first class
right.
post office.
Right.
Now, what determined the fact that Southwest Post Office no longer exists?
So I think it was all a political move.
You do?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I had meetings at the basement of the town hall.
Mm-hmm.
At the time of the consolidation, I was fighting the consolidation. I always thought it was a political thing. And I wanted to see the one at Southwestport remain. Mm-hmm. If it couldn't remain as a post office, I wanted to see it stay there as a station, mm-hmm. the same as Central Village did at mm-hmm. Westport.
Mm-hmm.
But they saw it differently, and mm-hmm. I...
So you didn't, you lost, and it turned out...
I did lose the battle as far as the Southwestport post office was concerned. I think I gained a lot in the Central Village and the head of Westport.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How long have you been with the post office?
I went in the last day of November in 1958.
Mm-hmm. Before
just
that,
18 years
what
ago
were you 18 years ago? Right. And before that, what kinds of work did you do?
Well, I worked with my father in the repair garage.
Mm-hmm.
And
I can remember that.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I remember Mr. Giles coming in quite often.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I...
He was very fond of your whole family.
Yeah, and I was on the... I am on the police department.
I am,
I
too.
Was at that time, and I
you were on the police department then.
Yes,
so, in other words, your association with the police department is longer than your association with the post office.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I hadn't realized. How old were you when you started to work with the police?
I was 21 years old.
21.
I was just old enough at the time to go on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And are you, what kind of a rank or status or something do you have?
They're just patrolman.
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 Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also the town constable.
You're the town constable.
Yeah, right.
Well,
you change hats
and put on badges.
It's like a small town sheriff, you know.
Yes.
He'll switch his hat and he's a fireman. And
yes. And you've never been with the fire department, have
no,
you?
No, I haven't.
No. Well, how does it operate? The whole postal system today is very fast, it seems to me. And people may gripe and complain about how slow the mail is, but even in this strike of the United Parcels and everything, it seemed to me as if you put the things through terribly fast.
Yeah, we had a little problem when the strike first started. The day after the strike started, I had 3 truckloads of parcel post
mm-hmm.
come into the office. Well, this was quite a thing to handle because we still have to handle this with the same personnel. We couldn't hire
any help. No, you couldn't suddenly just change personnel. No.
And they wouldn't let us hire any help.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to do this with our own help.
Mm-hmm.
We did get it out. We were about 3 days, I would say, and we were caught up to the work.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't that incredible?
Yeah.
I can remember, didn't you, down there just mopping your forehead at the post office because the packages were piled up all over the place and so on.
And I don't think that any other system could have done it the way we did.
No.
We have a group that is really outstanding in Westport.
The people are dedicated.
The carriers,
mm-hmm.
they just work twice as hard as they could, you know, or mm-hmm. should work. And they worked overtime, long hours, and much of it was at no charge to the post office.
Mm-hmm. How many people are delivering? I was saying, how many people have their mail brought to boxes in proportion to, that is, boxes in the post office in proportion to rural delivery?
Well, we have, I'd say probably 3,000 on rural delivery.
Mm-hmm.
And
how many people do that? How many?
Five carriers. Yeah, they have 600 people a day to deliver to.
Mm-hmm.
Approximately. It varies in the routes, but it averages out about 600 a day.
Mm-hmm.
And we probably have 500 boxes
mm-hmm.
rented in the
mm-hmm.
town, post office boxes.
Now, these people would not live in, who have rural delivery, would not live in one of the villages. They'd live between one of the villages, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
For instance, they wouldn't live right at the head, or would they?
No. Many of, well, they'd have to live at least a quarter of a mile from the office itself.
Yes.
They would not be entitled to
rural delivery.
So they could mm-hmm. walk to the office if they had to.
Mm-hmm.
That's a quarter of a mile
mm-hmm.
distance.
Mm-hmm. We had rural delivery, but we were more than a quarter of a mile from
the post office
here. But we decided we liked the post office, and that actually... it was nice to see people and nice to, you know, part of just the fun of being here was the post office.
Yeah, that's right.
And not
this is a small town post office.
Well, we had to go. Our house was fairly far away from the mailbox, so you had to go out anyway.
Yeah.
We did.
And I remember years ago, before I ever had any ideas of going into the post office, in fact, before the man that preceded me as postmaster, Chester Brackett,
mm-hmm.
before he came in, was Abram Potter.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the post office at the time at the corner of Main Road and Adamsville Road where the Lobster Place is now.
He did.
There was a general store there. Mm-hmm. And you'd walk into the store, and on the left-hand side as you walked in the door was an open counter and probably 10 or 12 post office boxes.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it was rented in
those days. In those days, 10 or 12 boxes.
10 or 12. And the general store had everything from 8 for a penny candies in the case to bolts of cloth that he had mm-hmm. in there.
I can remember Mabel Crosby telling me about getting groceries up there too. Things, staples and things. Didn't they have
always,
between the Woods house and the house? Well, right across the street where the resale place was.
Yeah,
Who owned that? It was a colonel at one time.
Colonel Cassidy
had it as a
he
as
was
a
working
resale.
It as the resale place.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the owner at that time was still Abram Potter's estate.
It was Abram Potter's place.
Yeah.
And then he had a little building in between that and the fish market.
Yes, right.
Which wasn't the fish market, but
that's
which
right.
was the post office and sort of general store.
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. And there was a general store down at the point. Where the post office was, too. There were two general stores.
Yes, that's right. There was. Well, every little community in town had its general store. In fact, there was a store at the corner of Drift Road and Hicks Bridge Road
mm-hmm.
years ago. Now, I say at the corner. I'm wrong. It was one house south of the corner on Drift Road. If you remember, there was a house there years ago that had a large bay window
mm-hmm.
in the front. And
mm-hmm.
this was a general store there.
Mm-hmm.
Every little and Southwestport also had one, where it's a chicken operation there now, where the man kills chickens in Manchester. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
that was a general store.
Store too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can remember Hartley Howe said that the postmaster. There were two general stores at the point, and depending on whether the country went Democratic or Republican, the post office moved back and forth across the street between the general store.
Yeah, I've been told about that.
Been heard any tales about when the mail was brought for a penny and or 2 pennies or something in stagecoaches and all that years and years and years ago?
Well, only stories of what I heard years ago. So when I was very young here in town, the mail was still brought over the same route as the stagecoach, but it was brought by automobile.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still the same route that the stagecoach used years ago.
In other words, it went to New Bedford or Fall River?
Went to New Bedford. Yeah, and then the loads were transferred, at Lincoln Park as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose it wasn't Lincoln Park at that time, but it was transferred at that same area.
Mm-hmm.
And then the stage would move from Lincoln Park down toward the head of Westport, down
mm-hmm.
to Reed Road.
Mm-hmm.
And then before the bridge was put in there, the stage would cross the river where the cutouts are now
mm-hmm.
in the bank of the river.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the stagecoach used to pull through there.
Oh, and the stagecoach with the mail.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And passengers, whatever passengers they would bring out of New Bedford.
Mm. That's interesting. Now, there was another stagecoach that took people from Little Compton to New Bedford. I don't think it took mail. That isn't the route, mail route. It was a travel route for people, and it's changed horses at where Lincoln Park is.
Yes.
And the man who ran the stagecoach was the grandfather of Mr. Hart's wife's Mr. Hart's wife, John Hart, down her grandfather ran that stagecoach, and if a person wanted to buy something in Fall River and they gave a message to the driver of the coach, he'd pick it up for them in New Bedford and bring it to them. You know, they could go shopping that way.
Yeah.
Do you think the post office never got involved in any shopping?
No, that was just the driver that did that.
Uh-huh.
That was done. I remember that being done. Even after it became motorized, I remember the Star Route driver. They call it the Star Route driver. This was the stagecoach driver. He would take orders as he went along as a favor to the people. Mm-hmm. You know, well, somebody would need a pair of shoes, and he'd pick
he'd
up.
He'd go shopping for it.
While he was picking up his load in New Bedford, he'd have a layover there probably an hour or 2 hours.
Uh-huh.
He'd run around and pick this stuff up for the people. This was the man himself.
So he did it as a favor to people, but it was part of the postal system.
Well, he was working for the postal system.
For the post office. Yes. Isn't that interesting?
But these men were usually under contract. Mm-hmm. So they weren't in the civil service part of it. They were under contract to the post office.
Yes.
So they were more or less on their own time.
Yes.
You were saying about Mabel Crosby going up to Central Village.
Yes.
I remember her going up with her horse and buggy.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I ever rode in a horse and buggy was with Mabel Crosby.
It was?
Yeah.
Yes. That's amazing.
Yeah.
You had, your family, your father and so on, always had a car because you always had a car.
Yeah. He had, when I was a very small boy, he had horses on the farm there, but... they were to work with not road horses. No, these were work horses.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mabel had a wagon, and she went all over town. They raised vegetables, and she went all over town selling vegetables.
Yes.
And then the few things she needed to buy, she went up to the store, Potter's store, I guess it was, and up to the post office.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
and I used to spend a lot of time in this house.
You did?
Oh, yes. I used to come down here to see Mrs. Crosby. Yeah, quite a lot. In fact, when we walked in that door, there was a blackboard on that wall.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, that was an attraction for the kids that came down. We'd stand there by the hour and draw pictures on that blackboard. And
yeah.
Oh, it was really, really great. And I remember she had a loom.
It was right in that big, that room there.
Yes,
and
right.
She had a hole in the ceiling. I know Mike had to plaster the hole because the loom was too tall for the room.
Yeah, I can picture her working at it and throwing the shuttle across the loom, and then she had some way of working it with her feet so that it would slam the threads tightly into place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I just wonder, how much when you first started, years ago when you were a child, or when as long as back as you remember, how much did it cost to send a letter in the mail?
Well, I remember, I guess I go back to 2 cents. That's that was
the earliest.
Yeah.
Yes. Did it go back to 1 cent before then, or the penny post?
The penny postcard, I don't remember any less than that. It seems to me that when I went into the service, that the first-class postage then was 3 cents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But before that, you remember 2 cents.
Two, yeah, right before that.
And then it kept going up and up and up.
Yeah.
Now, the up and up and up is due to what?
Cost of living increases for the help, salary increases. Cost of operating vehicles, cost of operating the offices, which is heating, lighting, tremendous jumps.
Yes.
It has taken effect. This year it took quite a jump.
It certainly did.
Oh, yes. But they do think that this year they will not have to increase the postage.
Well, pretty soon it's going to be an awful amount to send a letter.
Yes,
people are going to think twice before they write a letter.
That's right.
And I think Christmas cards are going to be, people used to send so many more than they probably made this year even.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But this year, because the post office is measured out in quarters of the year.
Mm-hmm.
They count their books each quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And this past quarter that was closed, this is the first time the post office has operated in the black in years.
Really?
Right. This is the first time it's done. I think it's due to the United Parcel strike.
Mm-hmm.
We had a sudden influx of business.
Yes.
And we weren't allowed to hire any extra help.
So you had to do it.
Yeah. So we had to get it done mm-hmm. with the help that we had and no additional expenses.
Yes.
Which proves it can be done.
Yes. But everybody looked awfully tired.
Well, everybody is tired. I was afraid that we might have someone drop out with sickness, you know.
Yes.
Because they were getting exhausted.
Yes.
It was really too much work
yes.
for them. And especially in my case where I have seven women
yes.
working, I think the workload was too heavy for them.
Yes.
But they did it.
They did.
They sure did.
Yes.
sure did. It's a great team.
Do you have any men?
All the carriers.
The carriers
yeah.
on the roof. But the otherwise the
but
women.
But the clerks, the counter clerks are all women.
Women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Am I not asking some of the questions that would be most interesting to people? Can you think of something else that I might ask that might be more valuable to the person who listens to this tape?
Well, I think we're doing great.
I do too. I think we're going. I think
sure.
we're getting a lot of facts.
Yeah, I think
on
so.
Record. How do you feel about being in? How does it feel to be both a policeman and a postmaster almost?
Well, I don't let the two conflict. I think both the police department and the post office would frown on this if I
yes.
did. I am dedicated to the post office 8 hours a day, and this is what I give them.
Yes.
10 hours a day and 11 hours a day if it's necessary.
Yes. I don't see how you stay awake.
Well,
how long do you give? How much time do you give the police? You must get awfully tired.
Well, the police job I don't do as a steady 8 hour a day job.
No.
Most of it that I do is in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And most of it is on the constable part
mm-hmm.
of it, where I set my own hours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like I was telling you tonight, I have a little job to do when I leave tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But this may take me an hour or so,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll be off.
Then you'll
through.
Be off through.
Yeah.
And so Kay doesn't get too lonely.
No, I try not to let it get too lonely. So, and maybe tomorrow night there'll be nothing. And,
yes.
And 2 or 3 hours the next night.
Yes.
It's the way it goes.
But, you know, you can't keep that up forever. I mean, you
no,
must have an awful lot of energy.
I do it. I really enjoy police work.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is my first love.
It is?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Police work. This is what I wanted to do. I couldn't. I had a chance to go into the post office. I had a chance there of making a greater annual salary
mm-hmm.
than I would of the police department.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured I owed this to my family before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I could give them a better life with it, well, I think that's what I should do.
Well, I think it's great that you live so close to the post office that you started in. I mean, of course, you don't live so very close to the post office, the central post office.
I think that's why I went into the post office at all.
Is because
I happened to live right next door.
Yes.
And the man was retiring.
Mm-hmm.
And the civil service examination came open, and I said, well, maybe this is what I should do. I'll try the examination.
Yes.
So I applied for it, and then I thought, well, I don't want to slip on this thing. I'm going to give it everything I have.
Yes.
So I bought some material and studied up on it
mm-hmm.
and prepared myself for the examination.
Yes.
And...
Well,
I
think you're a bright man. I think your father was a very bright man. And I think your wife's a bright woman. So I think we're lucky.
Well,
and I'm sure that if you studied up on it, you probably hadn't much competition.
Well, when I took the exam, the day that the examination was held, there was 8 in competition.
Mm-hmm.
8 people. 5, I believe, were disqualified. They were physically handicapped beyond the point of being able to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that they should have been disqualified, but that's the way the government looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't be able to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Disabilities of some sort, they give extra credits
mm-hmm.
for, but in the cases of these particular men, They knew they couldn't handle the job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have to check this. Overtime, you know. Now, the Pinot, Marion Pinot, and her husband was, you might say, postmaster down at the point,
yes.
And then she took over when he wasn't well. Now she's retired.
Now she's retired.
And somebody else is coming in.
Yeah.
Is it someone who's already been there and who knows the ropes? And
they haven't made an appointment there.
They haven't yet.
No, I don't. I really don't know who they're going to appoint.
Mm-hmm.
They have a person down there now who is an officer in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And that person, now I can't tell you her name, I've forgotten it. She stands a very good chance of being appointed.
Mm-hmm. Who does the appointing?
There's a selection board chosen by the Board of Governors.
Mm-hmm. The Board of Governors isn't a selectman or anything like that. It doesn't have anything to do with the town government? Or?
No. Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't. The selection board that I sat at, one person was from New Jersey, one from near New York City,
mm-hmm.
and another one from the Boston area.
I see. So it's completely unrelated to...
Yes.
So there's no partiality or anything like that. It's all impersonal.
Right, it is. Mm-hmm. And these people who sat on the selection board didn't know each other until it came time to sit on this board.
Yes, isn't that
interesting? So there was no time for them.
They didn't know you or they didn't know each other.
That's right. Yeah. We were all on an even board when we walked in.
Yes.
And they each had their own questions to ask,
mm-hmm.
and I was to answer them the way I thought they should be answered.
Mm-hmm.
And if I come up with the right answers, maybe I was chosen. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, yes.
But
well, you, at least at one time you came up with the right answer.
Yeah, I did once. We'll try the second time.
Yes. Well,
but
I think we're awfully lucky to have such a good postal system. Maybe it's this good all over the country. I know New York wasn't so good. It was so big, it was too hard to manage.
Yeah, they have. Of course, they have different problems there. Everything is impersonal there. You don't even know the person that's working with you. There's so many people working in that office that you couldn't possibly know everyone.
No.
In a system like ours, we know everyone. These people that are working with me now, I went to school with them
mm-hmm.
years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I've known them for all my life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more like a family thing.
Mm-hmm.
So close that, well, one goes for a coffee and they'll say, well, you want me to bring one back for you?
Mm-hmm.
Or,
sure.
You know, it's a very a closer relationship this way.
Do you ever trade off? For instance, one person has a day off and another person would like that day off, and they do sometimes trade off and
they do, it all,
and do all kinds of things like that.
Yeah,
so that you,
that's right.
It's really is a family in a way.
And if one person has a family problem, sickness in the family or something, we all know it.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's someone out for a week off, as a rule, if that person is in the area, they'll come back and say, well, you need it worse than that. You go ahead and take your time, you know.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that wonderful? That's really wonderful.
It really is,
that's the joy of a small place.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. How does the Harbor post office work, or is there one at the Harbor now?
There isn't any longer. There was a small one that was run with the general store down there.
I remember it.
Yeah. That has been closed, and it's being taken care of now by a rural carrier
mm-hmm.
from Little Compton office.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's a Little Compton post office.
It's a Little Compton
really
office of service.
Not at Westport.
No.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a hard way for us to service it. We have to go into Little Compton and then
mm-hmm.
back into Westport Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be so many miles involved.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Little Compton carrier comes from the other side of Westport Harbor
mm-hmm.
anyway, so he can service it with much less mileage per
mm-hmm.
day
mm-hmm.
than we could.
So there's inter-community planning as well as inter-town planning.
Yeah, well, see, the post office isn't bound by boundary lines.
Oh, that's what I think.
It's the United States Post Office.
It's the United States government that's doing this.
So we're not concerned whether the Rhode Island line is cutting across or Westport or Fall River. And like, we have carriers that are running into Fall River that
mm-hmm.
deliver mail.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
We have...
Could stop understand it.